Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It is the first time in the 172-year history of the Buffalo Diocese that a sitting bishop has been forced out. Pope Francis announced the resignation of Richard Malone earlier this morning. Joining us live is diocesan whistleblower Siobhan O'Connor. Siobhan, thanks for the time. You know, the emotions, everybody kind of expected what was going to happen this morning. Were the emotions that you expected the same ones you felt when it was announced?
Well, certainly there was the relief that it was for real this time after some recent high hopes and then false alarms. But honestly, when I was standing in front of the Catholic Center early this morning, I felt such bittersweetness that it didn't have to be this way, and I wish it weren't. But given all that's been revealed over the last more than a year now, it became a necessity, and so I'm grateful that it is official.
What does this change moving forward within the diocese? Can one person in one position like Malone really change that much, or does more still need to happen?
Well, certainly more needs to happen. This is that first vital step. But I would say that his departing will be a huge boost to the diocese because people have been feeling shame and embarrassment about how Bishop Malone has managed this scandal, and I do believe that also survivors will be grateful that they no longer have to see him or hear him. He's lied about them, to them, some of them, and I think that it was just continuing to cause us all distress. So even though it may be more of a symbolic change in some respects, it's an important one.
If you read Malone's statement, a three-page letter, which he refers to several times as early retirement, you also get from the tone of that he still doesn't think he's done anything wrong. Have you had a chance to read that letter?
I did, and I must say I was sorely disappointed by it. I just thought, gosh, can't he just leave us in peace? But he's going to remain and live among us, as he says, and be our bishop emeritus, which we have no say in. And then the fact that he kind of, in a sense, provided this last defense of himself, it really was more than tone deaf. It was tone dead on a day like today.
Is that reflected, too, in a message sent to priests and kind of the message from the diocese itself? Now, from the Pope and the Vatican, we heard that the bishop resigned. The diocese is saying that it's a request for an early retirement, that he's been granted early retirement. I mean, they are just, you know, turns of the same phrase, if you will. But, I mean, is there anything to that, you know, the diocese here is still calling it an early retirement instead of what it was, which was a resignation?
Right. I think it's a continuation of what they've been doing all along, which is evading the truth, evading accountability. Those are, you know, early retirement is just a euphemism in this case. And for me, it just shows that we still have a long way to go to achieve true transparency in our diocese.
How much anticipation do you have for what you are and what the entire diocese is going to hear later this morning from Bishop Scharfenberger?
Well, I'm really looking forward to hearing from him. What I've read of him and of his work in his diocese in Albany has been pretty positive. And although I don't want to have too high of hopes, I do believe that he has a more survivor and laity-centric approach. I do think that he has a different mindset than Bishop Malone did. And most importantly, he's coming into a diocese where he knows that survivors are supported. He knows that the laity is informed and active. And I'm sure he is well aware that business as usual is not going to be accepted here. And that's a huge step forward for us, that now we have the potential to have someone leading us who's going to listen to us instead of ignoring us.
I'm wondering if you're expecting any sort of outreach from whether it's Scharfenberger or the new bishop or just the diocese in general, you know, as a way of saying, you know, hey, we're interested in working together with abuse victims. We understand, you know, what you did and why you did it. I'm wondering if you're expecting any of that at all?
Well, if I've learned anything over the last almost 2 years, it's to lower your expectations. So I can't say that I have such an expectation, but I do have a hope that that might happen. I certainly would welcome the opportunity to speak with Bishop Scharfenberger or our future permanent bishop. And I would love to be a part of this new chapter for our diocese. I certainly plan to always be a Catholic and a Buffalonian, and this is my diocese. I would love to be a part of moving us in the right direction.
Siobhan Rocco-Palma, who broke the story about Malone's exit earlier this week, told us that Scharfenberger will have the full authority to make any decisions that need to be made here. He won't be, babysitting the district or the diocese. But do you expect him to make decisions? Rocco-Palma also said that they're expected to be a fast track for a new bishop by Easter.
That would be wonderful if that could be the case for our new bishop to be installed by then, or at least appointed by then. And in terms of Bishop Scharfenberger being given that authority, I would love to see him make some of those next steps, or to take those next steps. I know a lot of us have been talking about Bishop Grosch and how he has been complicit in all of this for even longer than Bishop Malone. And I know he's set for retirement in February, but perhaps Bishop Scharfenberger could come in, and gosh, what a statement that would make if he says, you know what, you're not the auxiliary bishop anymore, or we're to do whatever needs to be done to make that happen. And then to also see if he does some house cleaning within the Catholic Center and especially within the Chancery. There are so many people who have been enabling the type of management that Bishop Malone was providing. It would be great to see him make some changes, or to at least challenge people. That's what I would like to see, is ask them these questions and demand that they change too. So I'm thrilled that he has the authority, and I hope he makes good use of it.
You know, for the past year or so now, it seems like the bishop has been looked at almost as a political figure, more so than the leader of a church. And kind of the way he's acted in the face of this scandal has reflected that a little bit, whether it was denying that he resigned after we knew that resignation was in place, or other things of the like. Is that something you would expect to change? Is that something that's necessarily a trait of the bishop, or is that a trait of the diocese that's going to take more to overcome?
That's a really good question. I would say that I do believe that political approach and the manner in which Bishop Malone conducted himself, I think that does speak to him and his personality a bit. But I do think, too, that the diocese itself has been really just fighting so hard against openness and honesty, and it's hard to know, was Bishop Malone influencing that entirely? But then we know that the previous bishops did the same. So I'm just so grateful that now we have the chance to have a temporary administrator and then a permanent bishop who's going to break that mold and say, we're done with that. That clearly isn't going to suffice. And there's so much more that the church can be. We should be above politics, and yet we've been mired in it so long. So I'm hopeful that we won't see that from future leaders of the diocese.
Siobhan, thank you for the time this morning. That's diocesan whistleblower Siobhan O'Connor.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.